I encourage you to just participate and engage tonight. And so tonight we have Lindsay. She's going to share with us a message that I believe will really minister to us. And yeah, God is so faithful. So Lindsay, as you can come up.
How's that for some honesty?
Do you want me to move the mics out of the way?
Yes, that's true. I married one. Okay, can I just move a few of these? Good evening. That was just a wonderful worship time. It's so nice to have such a diverse group of people because you just get the different flavors coming through in the worship, which I really enjoy. I think that we're all, as you do these times of worship, you get a bit spoiled for just the same thing every week. And just being exposed to all the different just flavors that people express their love and their devotion to God, which is really wonderful. I'm going to pull this up. My name is Lindsay. For those of you that don't know me, I am on staff with Youth with a Mission Musenberg. So I work here. I'm going into my 10th year in South Africa, which is very exciting for me because I love South Africa. Thank you. Thank you, Pila. I have a very simple word tonight, very basic. I'm just going to share a few thoughts on a parable of Jesus. And then we'll just kind of see where it goes. Okay. I've been thinking about this one parable, the parable of the persistent widow. So let's read it, and then I'm just going to share some thoughts about what I've been seeing in it, and yeah, see what the Holy Spirit would have for us. So let's turn to Luke chapter 18. I hope you brought your Bibles. If you knew I was speaking, please. Luke chapter 18, and this is a very short parable, so we're just going to read it. Very easy to understand, which is good for people like me. Starting in verse 1, let's read together, or I will read and you'll listen. Jesus is speaking here, obviously, and he says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always to pray and to not lose heart. And he said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And for some reason, this parable has struck me recently, and I've just been thinking about it for about a month, just keep going back to it over and over, and just looking at it, and it's just, God has just been really ministering to my heart through it. And I think one thing that it really captured in me initially was it reminded me of my grandmother. So I'm going to tell a few stories about my grandmother tonight. Any other grandmother lovers out there? Love your grandma? Wow. Okay. I really love my grandma. Well, I love all my grandparents, but I have a special relationship with one. So it's a privilege to be able to tell you about her tonight also. And it reminded me of her because I have this grandmother, Grandma Ruth, that I want to talk about tonight. She is one of those crazy grandmas. Now, how many of you have a crazy grandma? Okay. I have another grandmother on my mother's side, and she's the sweet grandma, the baked cookies grandma. Anyone got those? Okay. The, you know, care for you and, oh, make you the special meals. My grandma Ruth wasn't that grandma. She was the don't eat her food, it might be poisonous grandma. Okay. And she was crazy. She was always doing crazy things. So every week there's another crazy story about Grandma Ruth and what has she been up to. And if you go to her town, people will just come up to you and say, you'll never believe what your grandmother's been doing. And I do tell, because it's going to be another crazy story. And she was a follower of Jesus. She loves Jesus. She's still alive. She absolutely adores Jesus more than anyone I've ever met. And the reason I thought of her with this parable is because she was persistent. She was a very persistent thing with whatever she set her mind to. She was very persistent. And she just never, ever relented. So as I was thinking about this, I was just thinking about all my precious memories about my go-go. And I have three thoughts with this tonight, with this parable, and in what Jesus was telling us. And I want to talk about prayer. I have three thoughts on prayer. Now, some of you, don't get big eyes when Lindsay wants to talk about prayer. Okay, I do talk about prayer, and I love prayer too. You don't have to be part of the prayer and worship department, amen?
Amen.
Okay, good. They're all saying the loudest. Okay. So I have three thoughts on prayer that I want to share with you from this parable. And the first one is this. As we are looking at this, there's this amazing picture of this persistent widow. And the only thing we know about her is that she's a widow, that she wants justice, and that she's persistent. Right? That's it. That's all we know. It's a short parable. And this woman is persistent, and she gets what she wants because why? She's persistent. That's it. And the first thing as I was just looking at this that really struck me is that the qualifications of getting a prayer answered is simply to pray. Be persistent. I love looking in Scripture and looking at the disciples and looking at the different people that are held up as examples for us because they are people that are just like us. It doesn't say the parable of the super dynamic word of faith healing ministry persistent widow. Right? It doesn't say the parable of the widow who fasted for 40 days and had a prayer ministry 24/7 and made a pilgrimage to Mecca. It doesn't say that. It simply says she was persistent and she got what she wanted. And the first thing I want to encourage us tonight is what are the qualifications to get a prayer answered is simply to persist. That's it. To persist. And just really asking, Holy Spirit, do we persist in prayer? Even as you look at this picture of her with the judge, she simply went to the judge and says, give me what I want. Give me what I want. I need this. I need this. I need this. And just simply asking and continuing to ask. And I thought of my go-go, my grandmother, in this. Because she was incredibly persistent. And she was one of those people that she prayed all the time. So if we would go as grandkids and we would go stay with her for, you know, a week or 2 weeks or a month during the summer, and our parents would just drop us off and we would stay there, and we would do lots of fun stuff. She lived by a river and had big fields around her house, and we would just run crazy, and then she would put us to hard work the rest of the day. But in the night, there's one thing all the grandkids knew, that if you wake up in the night, you will hear her praying. Now, she was also a little bit vain, and she always has wanted to lose weight. So she would do it on her exercise cycle. So you would hear her going. And she was also a charismatic, crazy Pentecostal, so she didn't just, you know, oh, Jesus, you know, we just pray. She's just the wheels going on that little exercise cycle, weeping and wailing. And you would hear your name spoken. I would hear, oh, Jesus, I pray for Lindsay. Oh, Lord, help her. Help her. Save her. Call her into ministry, Jesus. Call her. Let her know that she's called. And every year of my life, I would wake up in the middle of the night at some point, and I would hear her praying that prayer. But there was another name we would always hear, and we never knew who that person was. And she would pray for this name, and we just figured, you know what, it's just someone, you know, in her church, and she's praying. But year after year after year after year, she would be always just bringing the certain name before the Lord. None of us knew who that person was. And it later turned out, now my grandmother has two sons, one of them my father. And when she had those two sons, they were 3 years old and 1.5 years old, and the father of those two sons at 3 years old and 1.5 years old walked out the door of her house and never came back. A young mother with two sons, he walked out and he never came back. And so my grandmother made a commitment from that day forward that he needs to know Jesus. So she began to pray for him daily. And so she would pray and pray. Eventually, she met another wonderful man who is now, who I know is my grandfather, who married her and adopted my father and adopted his brother as his own children. She continued to pray, and she continued to pray. Through the night, she would pray. Weeping in church, she would pray. She's very emotional. You don't need to weep. You just need to be. But she was so persistent. 45 years later, my grandmother was walking in, got out of her car and was going to the grocery store, which was quite an amazing feat because she had one glass eye. Don't even ask about that, but she had a glass eye. And she drove, which was very dangerous. You'd just see cars in her town just swerve out of the way as she would come. And she was walking in the parking lot for, if you're an American, into a Safeway, which is like Checkers. So she's walking towards the Safeway, and she looks just right across there in the parking lot, and she lays eyes on a man, and who is it? It's the man who walked out on her 45 years ago. She's never seen him one day for one moment since that moment. So she, of course, what does she do? She walks right up to him. And she marches over there. I mean, she does like this. She walks over there, and she steps, and she pokes him in the shoulder. And she says, "Hey!" And she talks in this very funny voice, if you hear it. It's like almost unbelievable. "Hey, hey, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?" And this man looks at her. And, of course, he doesn't recognize her at all. And he says, "No, I'm Ruthie. I am Ruthie, and I have been praying for you for 45 years. Do you know Jesus yet?" And it dawned on him who this woman was, who was assaulting him in the parking lot of Safeway. And he looked at her and said, "Ruthie?" And she goes, "Do you know Jesus yet?" And he says, "No." She goes, "Do you want to know him?" And he says, "Yes." And she led him to the Lord in the parking lot of Safeway. Persistent prayer. Persistent prayer. She connected him into a church in her community. She actually connected him into her own church because she knew it was a good church, and she stopped going to that church and went to a new one. Because she thought that would be a little awkward. He was remarried and all that. So she started going to a new one. She later had major surgery on her heart, and he actually died three doors down from her in the hospital. My dad shows up to visit his mother, who has just had open heart surgery, and she says, "Get in here. You need to go three doors down and meet your daddy." And my dad met him there, three doors down, the day before he died. The persistent prayers of a widow. Wow. It's persistence. And I feel like God is asking us, are we willing to be persistent? To persist and to persist and to persist. And asking him. The second thing I saw in this parable, is that it wasn't necessarily the persistence of this woman that actually is the point of this parable. It's not necessarily the persistence of this woman. Because it just says she persisted and she asked, and then it says she asked an unrighteous judge who eventually relented. But you are not asking an unrighteous judge, you're asking God. You are asking God. And I feel like this parable is just asking us this second question. Are we willing to believe God for who he says he is? Because prayer is that statement that God is who he says he is. God is who he says he is. Jesus asks us, if an unrighteous judge will relent for this widow, how much more will God? And then he goes on to say and tell us exactly how much more. He says, he will answer quickly, speedily. He will come. Twice he says quickly and speedily he will come. And this parable says so clearly, he will not delay, he will be quick, he will be speedy, he will act. That's our God. It says it so clearly. That's the scripture. I just summed it up for you. He will act, he will not delay, he will be quick, he will be speedy. But then it has this really interesting question at the end, which when you first read it, it seems a bit out of place. Look at verse 8. It says, I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, will the Son of Man, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And this is actually what I think Jesus is asking. He says, God will act. Will we believe that that's who he is? God will act, but will we believe that that is who God is? I don't think God is asking, are you going to have enough faith and stir yourself up? I think he's asking a very simple question. Are you willing to ask and believe that that is who God is? Are you willing to pray in such a way that says this is who God is? Will we have faith in his character to actually ask him? Every time we pray, we are making a statement about who we believe God to be. Every time. Every time we pray, we are making a statement about what our God is like. What his character is like. And the point is not, come on, pray harder, pray harder. The point is, pray. Because there's unrighteous judges who relent. But you're not even serving those people. Pray because you are serving God. It doesn't even say you're serving a righteous God. You're serving God. Now, this brings me to my third point. Now, my first one was that, can we be persistent? Are we willing to be persistent? And my second one is that the reason those prayers get answered is because of who God is, not necessarily because of our persistence. The reason the prayer got answered for my grandmother wasn't because she was super spiritual, it was because of who she prayed to, right? But the third one that Jesus says here is that persistent prayer is a heart risk for us. Persistent prayer is a heart risk for us. We ended with that parable. He ends with, God will answer, will you have the faith, and do you know who he is and the God who will answer? But he actually begins the parable in a different way. Let's look at the beginning. He says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Jesus says that one of the biggest obstacles for us to pray is because it's very risky in our hearts. It's a heart risk for us. Because we're scared to. Because of what might happen or not happen. I was thinking of this recently. We had about 5 or 6 years ago on this base, we had someone come and really challenge the people on our base to believe God to actually have long-term people that settle down here and buy houses, which is a big, like, okay, you're telling a group of YOMers here to have faith for houses. But it was a real God moment. And he said he thinks there's people in the room that are believing to purchase a house. And if you check the house prices around in this area, they're not cheap. And so people stood up, a bunch of people stood up, that actually not just, hey, I want a house, but actually had been praying and believing God that there'd be a way that they would be able to purchase a house. So a bunch of people stood up, and Chris and I stood up too, because we've been trusting God. We would love to buy a house. And amazing things happen after that. And pretty soon, people started buying houses left, right, and center. It was amazing. Everybody, I think, that stood up got a house, except for somebody. Chris and I, we didn't get a house. But boy, did we pray for a house. And we still don't have a house. So this isn't one of those stories where at the end I say, aha, and then we got a house. But it's interesting as I look, because for me, I don't want to have a house because I want to be rich, or, I mean, sure, who wouldn't like to be rich, but that's not my motivation. I want to be in a place, a home for my children. I don't want to move around all the time. I don't like that. I'm a homebody. I want to be able to settle and be here. And I would pray about it, but after a week I would stop, because, not because I lacked faith, but because I was so afraid of being disappointed. And then Chris and I would go, okay, we're going to trust God. Now, we don't even have any money towards the house, but we're going to go look at houses, and we look at houses, and then we'd say, we're going to pray and trust God. And that would last about 2 weeks. And the reason I would stop is because I would tell Chris, I can't even do this because it's too disappointing for me. It's too disappointing. So here we are now. We have to move again because the house we're renting is going to be sold. And so our children are saying, where are we going to go? I don't know. And they say, well, let's pray for a house. And I say, why? Because prayer is risky. And I'm afraid that if my kids pray for a house and we don't get a house, what's going to happen to their faith? Because the reality is, prayer isn't just some task that we do. Jesus is saying prayer, actually, there's something that's connected with something in our hearts. So Garrett comes to me and he says, but I have my money. Now, he's been saving his money and gifts, so he has 32 rand. So he says, if I give you that money, do we have enough to buy a house then? I said, so close. And Thomas says, I've got my money too. And Garrett says, that's not going to help at all. Because he's got 3 rand 50. And everybody knows 32 is much closer. And so we were praying. We were actually driving home the other day. And they said, we had actually looked at a house. And on a Sunday, we were driving around and walking around. There's open houses in South Africa on Sundays. So let's pop into this house. Beautiful, really cute little house. And the boy's like, we want to get that house. It has grass. No, we don't have any grass at our house. No yard. And Tom was like, I could run back and forth and back and forth on grass. It would be amazing. So Garrett says, let's pray for that house. And the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, don't pray. Because you'll only be disappointed when it doesn't happen. Right? And so they prayed, oh, Lord, you know, Taba, Lord, give us the house, amen. And Taba, or Garrett was more, Lord, pray you provide in the future the donors that would bring us that house. And I thought, okay. But I was sitting there and we're driving along and I thought, God, that's very risky. I'd rather my kids, you know, pray for something where I could bail them out and go buy it in the end. Just in case you don't come through. Because that's what prayer is about. It's a risk. And I think there's two things we see from this widow. The first one we see so clearly is Jesus. I mean, you look at this first, be persistent. And you look at it second, this is who God is. And he says these strange and dangerous words like, he will come through quickly. He will do it. And all of a sudden, you guys are sitting there saying, oh, Lindsay, don't say those things. Do you know what people are trusting for? You want to break their hearts? Right? Because we get nervous when people say stuff like that. But we see clearly from the widow that Jesus is not promising to be our personal lottery ticket. She's a widow who needs justice. Her lottery is gone. Her husband has died. She is vulnerable. She was in a position of needing government intervention. God, I don't think Jesus is saying, and we should not walk away thinking if we just pray, then everything will be okay. Because Jesus clearly says it's not always going to be. But how does that match up with be persistent? And God will do it quickly. I think the second thing we can see that Jesus is trying to get from out of us from this widow is Jesus is asking us to pray prayers that make us feel vulnerable. Jesus wants us to go to a place in our relationship with him where we start to pray prayers that make us feel very vulnerable and are out of that very vulnerable and scary place. And he's saying in Scripture, you can trust me in that place. You can trust me in that place. Everything in us says, I'll be disappointed, there's no guarantees, it's not going to work out. And Jesus simply says, in that first verse, he told them this parable to the effect that they would always pray and not lose heart. Because when we pray in the way that Jesus did, there is that danger that we will lose heart. That we will get to that place where we feel so vulnerable and possibly let down and lose sight of God. It will be scary for us. It will be scary for us. One of our great leaders in this mission, Tom Bloomer, says something that I think is so appropriate and related to this. He says that when we pray, we are trusting God. When God is slow to answer, he is trusting us. When we pray, we are trusting God. But when God is slow to answer, he is trusting us. Now, it's interesting here because you look at this and we've been talking, God will answer. But what does it say God will do? Verse 6. The Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect? It never says, will not God give his elect whatever they want? It says, will not God give them justice? Justice is simply the righteous use of power. God promises you that in that vulnerable place, he will righteously use his power in our life. He will righteously use his power in our life. In that place where we are exposed, we are vulnerable to being more hurt than ever by man and by God. He says, he will give us what we want? No, he will give us justice. He will righteously use his power. Justice is a power word. He doesn't promise he will be fair. He promises he will righteously use power in our life. Do we have faith in him and in his character to ask? And are we willing to be vulnerable to ask those things we're afraid to ask about? Are we willing to come to him in that vulnerable place? I don't know what justice looks like for you, but I feel that God wants some of us to come to him and be willing to pray those prayers that we were unwilling to pray before because it was too scary, it was too vulnerable, we were too open to disappointment. The only thing we have to lose is him. The only thing that we have to gain is him. When we pray those prayers, what will justice look like? I don't know. But the only thing we have to lose is God. And the great thing we have to gain is him. Is him. I think of this because my grandmother now is very sick. She has traveled to, I think, 15 different nations preaching the gospel. She is a self-made, very successful businesswoman, and she has been struggling for the past 7 years with Alzheimer's. Now, Alzheimer's is a terrible disease that causes you, basically, you start to lose your memory, and then you're unable to function. And she has gone from this vibrant, crazy, wild woman to a woman that can't stand up. She can't eat on her own. She doesn't recognize her own children. She doesn't recognize me. And it's everything in me to go visit her, because she's gone. She's gone. And I began to pray about this, and my prayer was, God, now hear me out. This will be the year that she will die. And I prayed that every week. Lord, take her. Sometimes weekly. This week, will this be the week that you take her? She wants to be with you. She's gone. There's nothing left of her that we know of her. Won't you take her? And she's still here. And I felt God spoke to me one time so clearly. He said, Lindsay, stop praying that prayer. You don't trust me. You don't trust me that I know what is best for her. I know how to righteously use my power to give and take away life. Trust me with her. So I still pray for her every week. But it's changed me in the process. It's been disappointing in the process. The whole process has been disappointing to see her go through this. I go to her, and she doesn't even look at, she looks at me, but she looks right through me. And I used to be her favorite. She told all the other grandkids, Lindsay's my favorite. I was like, yes. And last time I was with her, I sat there and I held her hand. My dad and I will sing songs to her. She loves songs. I would read scripture to her, but no reaction. She can't talk. And I just got down, and I just got right into her ear. I said, Grandma, I'm leaving. And if you want to leave too and go see Jesus, you can do that. You can go see him. And one just little tear came down her face at the name of Jesus. And so I continue to pray that very vulnerable prayer. Lord, I trust you that you know what is best for her, and that you will take care of her. And I feel like some of you have prayers that you have been reluctant to pray because they're too vulnerable. They're too scary. They're too risky for disappointment. Some of us want to get married. And I'm not just talking to the women. Men do. Some of us want to have children. Some of us are trusting and believing for a vision of where you want to see your life go. Some of you are trusting and believing and praying for people. And it's scary because everything you look at says, I'm only going to be disappointed. And God is saying, I think Jesus is saying to us, he is telling us this parable to the effect that we would pray and not lose heart. That we can persist because he is a good God. And he will quickly and speedily give us justice. We don't know what that looks like, but we can. We can. And there's areas of our life that we can take to God. There's things and hearts, desires that we have that we can bring to him. Prayer is a very vulnerable thing. So I want to ask the worship team to come back up. And I just want to spend some time in worship. And I feel like some of you, you know what that thing is, and I just feel like there's some of us that need tonight to take that step, to be willing to go to God and to say, God, I actually want to start to pray about this area of my life. I want to start to pray about this thing in my life. That thing that makes you nervous to think about praying. It makes me nervous to say this right now, honestly. Because I don't want you to be disappointed. Because prayer is something that can make us lose heart. But Jesus says we don't need to. We don't serve an unrighteous judge. We serve a God who is so quick to come and be there. So let's stand. And just as we're worshiping, I just want us to start and just asking the Holy Spirit, is there something that you have for me? Is there something that you're speaking to me that I have either been afraid to pray for and trust you in that area? Is there something that I have prayed for at one time, but I shut that down because it was too vulnerable and too risky? And just ask God to highlight that thing to you and just start to respond to him as we're praying. I just want to open it up. If someone wants to come forward, there's nothing magical about this place up here, but there is oftentimes something significant about just taking that step, coming before him, moving with our bodies and responding to him. But let's just begin to just ask God, God, we just ask you if there are things in our life where you're asking us to be that persistent widow, to persist in something that is very vulnerable, that makes us feel very powerless. Would you highlight that to people? Would you speak that to us if there's things that we are so afraid to admit that we desire and that we want to bring to you, Lord, would you do that and bring that up? Lord, we just look to you and say we don't serve an unrighteous judge. Lord, although our emotions do not say it, we look to you and we know that you say you are a faithful God, and we so desperately want to believe that in all areas of our life.